Welcome to this week's episode of The Awesome with Cody, everybody. I am Cody, and on today's episode, I am joined by...
John Zhang.
And so we'll get started with this, because the first couple questions will introduce everybody to who you are and what you do. So my first question is, what do you do for a living?
I'm supposed to do like an actual intro and everything like that.
That's fine. We can go through it. My questions are centered around that anyway, so... What do you do for a living?
What do I do for a living? I like this question, but I kind of like don't really have too much of a sort of specific answer to it. I guess in a nutshell, I'm an artist, artist illustrator, concept artist. I do concept art for. A lot of film work, video games, toys, that sort of thing. And I also do illustrations and whatnot. I do illustrations for professional gigs. I also do my own illustrations and whenever I can express my own art and that sort of thing too. So,
all right. I know a little bit more about your work than most people would. Who are listening to this who might not know. So can you break down what exactly does a concept artist do when it comes to like the movies and stuff?
Yeah. So concept art oftentimes is in a lot of various industries. Like I mentioned, toys, video games, film, and a plethora of other sort of, again, industries that kind of need what essentially is illustrations or designs to kind of help articulate what people want to do within the movie, whether that be certain assets like creatures, characters, vehicles, environments, effects, you know, all of those things. What happens is that directors, producers, speaking in terms of film, will need oftentimes illustrations to kind of help describe what their ideas are before any sort of like heavy work is done. Not to say that the concept art side is not heavy work, but in terms of the concept art, the objective is to kind of just explore different ideas, because oftentimes too, especially with a script, it's just kind of like a blurb. Sometimes it's very nondescript and sometimes it's very descriptive. And oftentimes what needs to happen through the organic process of doing, I think, anything good creatively is to kind of hash out whether that is the best idea. If it's just a nondescript idea, we also need to kind of flesh it out some more and kind of find out what our answers are to certain questions and things like that. So, for instance, like I designed Shredder for the Turtles movies, the first Turtles movie. and basically, we all kind of know and love Shredder in terms of how he's appeared in animation and in the video games and toys and all of those things. But what does that necessarily look like for this interpretation on a cinematic level, live action level? You know, we're given a few sort of indications by the producers and the directors. Michael Bay wanted, you know, let's say something more traditional samurai, but all of the sort of like visual cues that are kind of iconic to Shredder, the character. And, you know, we implement some of those things as well as, you know, his ideas and what he's thinking and what you see at the end of the day in the film is kind of like how that process evolves, and all the people who work on it, from the concept artists and the directors and producers to the modelers, the riggers, animators, painters, lighters, and you know, everything like that, and what you see on screen is a culmination of all of that.
Right. I mean, a lot of, you mentioned all those different roles that take something you do. Because most of your concept art is mostly just a still image, right?
It depends. I think that sometimes, especially for, you know, working for ILM, we do a lot of effects. And sometimes that does sometimes require animation, or that requires still frames of certain things. Like, let's say, what does Shockwave's blast look like when he, you know, blasts his cannon and things like that. And though that happens in like a split second, what that entails is a lot of man hours in terms of the visual effects stuff, the particle effects, the animation and all of those things. And sometimes they need a bit of a skeleton before they just kind of pile on a bunch of those very expensive man hours. And, you know, you don't want to, I guess, work too much in that area, because it can get quite expensive and things like that. So, you know, concept art helps to kind of also excite people about, you know, not only save money, but also excite people in terms of like what the possibilities are. And also, again, covers a lot of the bases that we can kind of see in a much more efficient way.
Gotcha. Okay. Since we're on that, what are some of your past projects you've worked on? You mentioned Transformers and Ninja Turtles. I know there's a lot other stuff you've worked on. Can you run down a few of them?
I've worked on a lot of the Marvel movies. I've worked on Iron Man 1, Iron Man 2, Avengers 1 and 2, Captain America Winter Soldier. I know I'm missing a bunch here. And yes, I've worked on movies like Pacific Rim. I've worked on movies like Rango, the Turtles movies, Transformers movies. Yeah, the filmography is kind of long, but yeah, that kind of covers a lot of the stuff that, you know, that oftentimes I've touched, you know, big popcorn action movies and, you know, sci-fi movies and things like that. I've been very fortunate. A lot of these movies are the sorts of properties and things that I've loved as a kid. So being able to kind of contribute my little part to kind of the cinematic interpretations of these things, of, again, for anyone who's into any of these sorts of things, it's a big nerd dream come true.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of your stuff in your books at the different conventions, and you have a lot of pictures. I mean, you have a lot of the concept art printouts and things like that. And it kind of goes, like you mentioned earlier, you have like your own art and like you do your own prints and everything like that. And that's a big thing. That's how I first met you, was actually the Deadpool picture you did, the print you had at San Diego. I mean, I don't know, like 10 years ago or something now. And so like your art style, it's actually a lot different than the concept art that you create, like your personal style. And we've talked about this before. I know a lot of your inspiration for your personal art doesn't come directly from the source material, like the 80s cartoons and the movies like that. You have your own kind of like lens you put on there. What do you have, a certain like artist inspiration you have, or is it like a just kind of like a it that's how it shows up in your mind?
It's weird, because I kind of often describe it as this weird amalgamation of a lot of different influences. And I know that this kind of might seem like the sort of like canned answer to this question, but for me, the influences on my art really are derived from everything from, you know, comic books, Western comic books, to Japanese manga and anime, to, you know, street art, graffiti, as well as, you know, a lot of, when I studied in school, I loved looking at Renaissance art. I really love the tactile nature of Renaissance art, you know, impressionistic work, even Art Deco, and all of that sort of influences my work, as well as, you know, filmmakers too. I think a lot of filmmakers also have their cinematographers, as well as their own eye, that kind of oftentimes capture a style, oftentimes, that is really appealing to me. You know, guys like, obviously, like David Fincher, and, you know, foreign directors like Wong Kar-wai, and just all of that kind of, in what I often try to do is, it's just stuff I love. So I just try to absorb those things and hopefully become some part of that sort of vernacular that kind of, I think, ultimately comes out in my work. Because I know that I get asked that question a lot in terms of what my personal work is, and that's the thing, is that it's hard to pinpoint. So when I am oftentimes like, well, who do you get influenced by? It is, again, guys like, you know, David Fincher, Wong Kar-wai, comic book guys like, you know, Todd McFarlane and Jim Lee, and, you know, all of that stuff. You know, artists back in the day, obviously, you know, and American illustrators, all that stuff is just stuff that you just hopefully absorb, and it becomes part of your art.
Subconsciously kind of comes out in your own yeah. works.
Yeah. And I know that, you know, and then obviously you inject a bit of yourself into the work, and, you know, I think ultimately that either, you know, is either described as derivative or, you know, an amalgamation or an appropriation of all of those influences, also comes out as something, maybe at the end of the day, is something unique, you know. But only time will tell. Who knows?
Very true. So the next question, what are some of the projects you're currently working on, or maybe some of the stuff that's coming up that you can't talk about?
Cody knows me long enough, everyone, to know that whenever he asks this question, he's going to get the "I can't talk about it" answer, which is very true. I would love to shout at the top of my lungs all the like awesome stuff that I get to work on. But again, all of the stuff is oftentimes under strict non-disclosures and things like that. So, you know, not until either it's released and things like that, I can kind of describe some of the stuff I've worked on. But, you know, I've recently been working a little bit with something that I kind of feel is awesome to me is very recently I got to work on covers for Spawn. Obviously, I'd mentioned Todd McFarlane earlier, and, you know, getting an opportunity to work with someone who's, again, a bit of a canned answer, but seminal in my sort of development as an artist, it's been kind of mind-blowing. Just, you know, and also, too, one of the things that we had worked on was just kind of putting together rough thumbnails, and I put together a series of rough thumbnails to kind of choose concepts for a cover, and, you know, he was like, hey, let me ink on this, and it was really just a bit of chicken scratch on my part, and, you know, having him ink over it and it became a cover and things like that is just, again, it's crazy. It's crazy to me that that's happening. But yeah, that's been kind of a cool thing that's been happening.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Plus, he's an awesome dude in general.
He is. He's just one of those guys that you can kind of tell it's obviously the quality of the art, but he's super energetic about it all, you know, about the whole process of it, and, you know, ultimately the end product, and, you know, it's just, again, there's a lot to be learned there.
He's been doing it for a long time as well. I mean, started his own company and, well, started Image Comics and everything like that. So
yeah, I think that, you know, if you're gonna learn from, you know, a bunch of guys, you know, especially guys like Todd McFarlane, and for me, it's always been like he's kind of like you know, on the cusp of a lot of stuff. Obviously, starting his own, you know, starting the company, the image with the image guys, and all those things. That's pretty, you know, that's pretty forward thinking. And then just his sort of art style and interpretations of these characters too, that you would just have never thought about seeing certain ways and things like that. That's amazing to me too, just to kind of, and also have this sort of like sort of artistic I guess ballsiness, just be like, you know, this is how I see it, this is how I'm going to do it, and everything like that. You know, that's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, because it even goes back to like that when I say the most iconic Todd McFarlane Spider-Man cover with the giant eyes and all the webs, which at the time was very different than what he was previously. And then he comes on this book, this fresh-eyed kid, and makes this, and it kind of changed forever how Spider-Man looks.
And that's the thing, is that there's definitely these sort of like, you know, what you're saying, these telltale sort of like cues on a lot of stuff, but also to just the, you know, the sort of energy and the poses and, you know, the movements of the characters now of Spider-Man. And you're just like, wow. Like, obviously everyone who kind of, you know, does their sort of like runs on Spider-Man or any character, you know, you sort of inject your influences and, you know, your look and your style. But I think that really, for me, it really broke the mold in many ways, which, you know, opened up the character in many ways too. Yeah.
Very true. So next question, what is a project you'd love to work on? And I posed this to a couple other people I've had on the show, and this isn't more of like a project that someone else makes, like a different thing. It's even if it's like something you have always worked on. I know you've had a couple things you've made art and stuff for and prints for, but what's one project you'd love to kind of put your spin and take on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a few of my other friends, we've talked about this before, and I think that I would love to, because it was always one of those things that, again, when you think back as a kid, the things that kind of stick with you and the things that you just love so much that just had this way of sticking with you. And I know that, again, this sounds kind of like canned and everything like that, but like, I would love to, I guess, not only work on, but crack the code of Superman. I don't know if, like, because I just love the Richard Donner movies so much as a kid. And I do like, you know, Man of Steel to a certain extent. I don't know if, like, you know, there's this definitely this element of, you know, this modern superhero that's very, how do we say, badass and everything like that. You know, I don't really like that word, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's also, to me, there's this aspirational element that I think is a little bit lacking. Like, the first teaser trailer of Man of Steel kind of had a big bit of that, with that sort of like Russell Crowe, Jor-El monologue and everything. And I was like, oh yeah, this is going to bring me back to, you know, those feelings I felt as a kid. I don't know if it's necessarily evolved that way, you know, to this point. But, you know, I always think that he's one of those characters, and it's not just in cinema. I think cinema is really, really tough to kind of break that, again, that code to get him right. But I think it's a lot of other elements too. I think it's a lot, it's comic books. I think it's animation. I think he's a character or a hero that's a bit not of this time. I don't know if that makes any sense. And no, I think that, yeah, and I think that, you know, it would be kind of cool. I recently did some work with another company on some Superman stuff, and I got to tell you, it's hard. It's because, you know, ultimately everyone wants Superman to be, I guess, what we know, right? Those elements that we know. The bright blue suit, the bright red cape, you know, just on a visual, you know, level, right? You know, the curl-less hair, you know, the briefs on the outside, those are all iconography that is Superman.
Yep.
But at the same time, what happens is that also too, again, on a visual level, and this speaks to him as a character and all the character traits, but when we see it, I don't know if it appeals to a lot of people anymore, you know? But then trying to change it, kind of, you know, the sort of like tried and true methodology is to, again, make him, I guess, badass and things like that. And I don't know if that's a successful route either. You know, I don't have the answers to it, you know, to tell you the truth. I think that's, he's a tough one, you know, and to armor him up and all these other things. And I'm just like, yeah, it might be kind of cool visually on a modern level, but I don't know if it really sings as the character,
yeah.
You know? Go ahead.
He's always been like a really polarizing character too, but is also like for creators, everybody, like you said, everybody likes to take their shot at it, but when you really think about it, do you have something to bring to the table?
Right.
To not to change it, because like Superman, just like Batman, if you change him too much, you lose that character.
It's a good thing that you're bringing up Batman. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to kind of trivialize any sort of like interpretation or any kind of take on Batman. I think that that's another challenge onto itself. But if I was to just compare apples to oranges, if I had to choose like one being more difficult than the other, I would say Superman is by far a super hard challenge on many, many levels, characterization, visualization, you know, all of those sorts of things, you know, and again, just, you know, where he places himself in our sort of like modern day pop culture and politics and, you know, all of those things, right? Because I think Batman is always been one of those characters that I think is built for reinterpretation, you know,
yeah.
Like it's one of those characters, I think, that, you know, because we've already kind of seen him in many different ways, he's almost like the James Bond of characters, where if you take another interpretation of him, he's the iconography is still going to read on many levels, and it works. Superman's tough, you know, and I think also too, Batman is built for, again, I think our modern sensibilities, I guess I would say, like, a little bit more of that vigilante, a little bit more of that, you know, quote unquote, again, badassery and everything like that.
I agree with you. Yeah, because it's always been Superman's always been one of my favorites. But the problem is, like, it's really hard to do him justice because he's cut from that old cloth where, like, Batman's kind of evolved with the times, like you said. But
yeah.
Superman is always still going to be just the bright blue Boy Scout.
And I think that that's the, you know, being a bit redundant here, but I kind of think that that's just part of his character that it's hard to throw away. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, unlike, again, where it's like, you know, when you're saying Batman has evolved with the audiences, I think, again, just fundamentally, Batman's character is built to do that. Whereas, you know, the sort of principles that Superman is are very specific, very, very specific. That is an ideal that, you know, I think sometimes might sounds a little bit cynical, is lost on, you know, a newer generation, I guess. I sound very old here.
Well, yeah, you and me both. Yeah, it's and it's always been that way. It's like people always go, like, they always like, I can't, like, they always ask me, like, how do you enjoy Superman? And it's like, because it's not just He doesn't just go out and punch people in the face. He is, in his own right, restraint that nobody, no other character has, because he is as powerful he is. As, you know, he has the super strength. He has all that, where it's hard to make a story where you humanize someone who is essentially just a god,
yeah,
compared to everything around him. And I think that's a very hard thing to do.
And I think that it's one of those things where, again, this makes me sound super old, but it's one of those things where, like, I would love it to be done well, because I would want it to be like a breather in all of this, right? Because we always have those vigilante characters that, you know, are just going to pummel the villains close to death or to death and everything like that, which is like, yeah, that, like, don't get me wrong, like, when I see someone that, I'm like, okay, you know, in terms of just cinema and comic books and everything like that, you know, that's, I guess, what, you know, some would interpret as, you know, justice or, you know, whatever. Again, this is all fictional here, but, you know, but again, I think there's this sort of, I want a breath of fresh air, this, you know, treating people with humanity and all of those things, and, you know, and handling problems in in a less extreme way. There's nothing wrong with that too, you know?
Yeah. To your point, I mean, it's the fact that Superman is always the optimist and Batman's always the pessimist. And unfortunately, in the world that we live in and the world that we relate to, is the pessimist is going to be the winner in that little scenario.
Right. And I think that's one of those things where it's like, and they've touched upon it recently with some of the more recent cinematic interpretations, but, and maybe this is a conflict that's hard to interpret, but I think that, you know, I think it could be done where it's like, that is really the thing that they argue about, but is also the thing that brings them together, you know?
Yeah.
As two characters and stuff.
Yeah, I get that.
But yeah, Superman is one of those where, you know, if that could be done well, I would love to, you know, maybe hopefully be a part of that someday.
And speaking of Superman, have you seen any of the stuff from the show Krypton yet? The art-wise?
I saw the first episode.
I haven't watched it yet. I've watched a lot of trailers. But have you seen Brainiac's ship?
I've seen it in the show, but I haven't seen concept art for it.
So, I mean, it was like, I think it was last year at San Diego, they showed it off, and it's essentially this grimy looking giant skeleton, like skull,
mm-hmm,
flying through space. But just like, even that seems super dark, and it seems like a really good, I don't know how good the show is, but the visuals looked really interesting, because you have that bright, shiny beacon of justice, and then you have this murky, dark, almost ominous, evil ship-looking thing coming in. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that anytime you have an opportunity to have contrast within, you know, a certain set of characters, be it the protagonist and the antagonist and everything like that, that's always going to be beneficial, you know. And I think that as long as it fits within, you know, the characterization historically of that character, as well as taking it to someplace new and fresh, as well as, you know, fits within the archetype and everything like that, I think those are all great things to do. And again, Brainiac is a good example of that, right? Where it is, again, that sort of, you know, dark element, that sort of like looming sort of just dark imposing figure, versus Superman, the singularity, this great one beacon of hope, you know. I think that's awesome, you know. And I think that's the same thing with sort of like Luthor and things like that. And again, it goes back to, I think, his historically his rogues gallery, which is a lot different from, let's say, Batman's rogues gallery, where, you know, the contrast between Luthor and Superman is obviously Superman is strength and the ability to fly and all these things, whereas Luthor is all about his intelligence, right?
Yep.
But how do we visualize that? That's oftentimes tough to do. So whenever Luthor gets into like an armored suit and all that stuff, I'm a little, you know, checked out. But <Yeah. laughs> but you know, it's great for video games and things like that. You know, I think it creates really cool visuals and stuff.
I agree with you. Yeah, and it's, even the things like when you speak of like Luthor being his nemesis, a lot of people are like, I don't understand how, and this is going to get a little nerdy, but how does this human being expect to fight against, you know, this alien, this god? And it comes down to the fact that they're both very powerful, but they're powerful in different ways. One has physical strength and one has power beyond that because he has money and influence and things like that. But it's one of those things where if Superman wanted to, he could just flatten him.
Right.
But he doesn't right. because that's who he is.
But also, too, I think that, you know, and again, this may be, you know, going back again a bit much, but and being a bit derivative. But and here's the thing that's kind of funny to me is that there's been this long form sort of like storytelling in a lot of the sort of like DC universe that I think has been pretty well done. Like Smallville was awesome because it turned that relationship on its head, and I didn't follow it through, so I only know what I remember. But the fact that Superman and Lex Luthor became very good friends, almost best friends.
Yep.
I was like, that is brilliant. Like, there's just not this like hatred for each other that's arbitrary. There's this something had happened to them throughout their relationship that has torn them apart, you know, yep. And we know it's coming somehow, but seeing the fact that now you're playing into that sort of like humanity of Superman, because this is his best friend and he has reservations about doing him harm and, you know, all these things, where as something has gone so awry in their relationship and Luthor has been so crossed that in the future, Luthor has no qualms about inflicting pain on Superman, you know. That's
oh, yeah.
awesome. That's an amazing idea. Like, I'm like, that is an amazing character development right there on both of those characters.
Yeah, it's very true. I loved Smallville back in the day. It did kind of come off the rails at the end there because they were kind of running out of story ideas, you know. It's you can only yeah. do so many. You can only do 4 years of high school, because then otherwise it's just super weird.
I think there's it's always one of those things too where it's like, you know, I think ultimately you have to have like an end game to all of that, because, you know, obviously we all know how it's going to end. Obviously the showrunners in the studio would love it to go on forever, but we all know what's coming, right? So it's like, you know, at some point you have to, I think, address all of that and then say, and you guys know how the rest of the story goes, and we can either tell new stories from that, you know, based on this sort of like new, you know, character twist or whatnot, or, you know, it sets off the universe as we know it, sort of thing.
I completely agree. So next question, mm-hmm. now that we've talked about our love of Superman. what other creator would you like to work with most? So not devoid of character or project, but what creative person would you like to kind of meld minds with?
Oh man, the list is super, super long, but I would definitely love to be a part of something, and I know that he doesn't do, I'd imagine he still needs concept art and whatnot, but, you know, be able to kind of work with like a David Fincher or, you know, something like that. I think it's a big, would be huge, and even, like I mentioned earlier, Wong Kar Wai and things like that. It's they're even though, and even like Fincher these days has been doing work that's, I guess, a little bit more, less of like, Alien 3 and, Fight Club and, those sorts of things. He's doing more drama based work, which is really, they've been very amazing to me. But again, there's still that sort of like visual sensibility that you can see is very apparent in the work, regardless of, what the genre is. And to be able to kind of, just be a fly on the wall, even just, would be pretty amazing to me. And the same thing with, like Wong Kar Wai is, director from Hong Kong, and his visual style is just so rich. And again, just to kind of learn from that through osmosis somehow, just to kind of absorb all that, be a part of the process, see the process, would be, something I would give a couple limbs for.
All right. And it comes down to our last question that has less to do with what we've been talking about. So what are some of the things you do outside when you're not working, outside of your realm of work? I know you work a lot, so when you do have that precious free time, what do you like to do?
That's the tough thing, too, is that, again, maybe it sounds a bit of a canned answer, but I don't always have this, and this might be bad too, I don't have a clear division between work and life. Does that make any sense?
It does, yes.
Like I really love, I just love working on art. So I just kind of am always like doing, I guess, some sort of art or something creative. And I don't know, like, again, I don't have a clear sort of like, I'm doing it or I'm not doing it sort of thing. I'll be up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning still working on art, and it doesn't feel like work. It feels like what I was always doing as a kid, which is, just doodling and, that sort of thing. And, all those late hours, not everything that comes out of it is always, portfolio work, but it's, I guess part of the process. And, I appreciate having that time, but other than that, it is having time with your loved ones and all those things. That's important too. So I try to make sure I appreciate all of that whenever I get an opportunity. And and also just kind of I go for a run here or there, and and I like to eat. Those are things I do.
Okay. Well, that's all my questions that I had all planned for you. So now I'm going to roll out the red carpet for you. You can let everyone know what you have coming up, where they can meet you, if you're doing any conventions that might be near them, and how they can see you, your stuff online.
Sure. So the next show I'll be at is the C2E2 show in Chicago. And that's the weekend of April 6th. You can see me there. I think K10 is my spot. But you can always find out all of that information on either my website, my fan page, my Instagram. Feel free to join me. You can do a search for me, John, J-O-H-N. Last name is G-I-A-N-G, Jang. And you can also find my website, orbitalharvest.com. Yep. And on there are links to my various social media sites and things like that, so you can find me online, and feel free, hit me up, chat, talk about art, and I can be found in the interwebs of the world.
All right. Well, I thank you for spending some time with us today, talking about all sorts of stuff, and thanks for being awesome.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of fun getting to kind of talk about Superman.
Yeah,
and all things nerdy, which is a lot of fun, as you guys know.
Yep. All right, so that's it for this week's episode. Again, I want to thank John for spending some time with us. It was a lot of fun, and we will talk to you later, guys.
Cool. Thank you, guys.